You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. College Football Today.
About 4 hours away from the start of Army and Navy, Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello. Here at Fantasy Sports Radio Network and Television Network, we've partnered up over the last 4 months. What a great organization it is, DKMS, looking to delete blood cancer throughout the country, looking for blood donors. You've heard Rich and I speak about it. It's been a cause that's very close to both of our families. And Rich, we have a great fantasy game where you have the opportunity to win Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah, I lost my dad to leukemia. I've had, leukemia and blood cancer has touched my life throughout my life, and I know it has yours as well. And I love the fact that we're partnered up with DKMS. You know, December, the holidays, it's the season of giving. You can give no better gift than to be a donor. You can save a life. And while you're doing it, you can also play fantasy football. You mentioned it. We have a free game week after week in the NFL. Win one of the weekly contests. You'll be put in a pool at the end of the year, week 17, with an opportunity, if you're victorious at the end of the season, to actually cop Super Bowl tickets. So an absolute win-win. You get a chance to help out your fellow man and play fantasy football at the same time.
And good news, you won't be seeing the Jets play in the Super Bowl, so that's a win-win for everybody as a Dolphin fan. But if you do want to win Super Bowl tickets, join now at DKMS.org or go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS or go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS or call 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. 843-6879. Join, win, and it's a win-win for everyone involved. Rich, a lot of discussion has been talked about expansion for college football because of the controversy, Ohio State being left out. I don't want to see it. I do not want to see college football look like March Madness with the college basketball tournament where it's a diluted product. Regular season does not matter. If you don't want controversy, win all of your games. It's part of the sport. It's been around for years. 1990 split national championship, Colorado, Georgia Tech. 1997 Michigan and Nebraska. That's what it's all about if you watch college football.
Well, I would be open to an 18 playoff. Ugh. I really would. I would stop it there. Now, that wouldn't be March Madness. We're not talking 68 teams here. If we went 8-5 conference champions, I would like to include the best of the group of five, UCF this year, and then 2 at-large bids. I'd have no problem with it. What I would like to do, I'm not a big fan of the conference championships. I'd like to scrap that first weekend in December. I'd like to get rid of the conference championships entirely, replace them with an extra round of playoffs. Do we really need to see those repeat games? I mean, last weekend, Miami-Clemson was a blowout. Oklahoma-TCU was a blowout. We got SEC, Georgia over Auburn, blowout. I'd like to see an extra round of playoffs. I think it's good football in December.
I don't know. Then once you go to 8, it becomes 10 and 12. Next thing you know, team 15 and 16 are complaining. And next thing you know, you have 64 teams. When we come back, we'll be talking about the first week of the bowls. Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Studio 34.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Mm-hmm. Next week, game day, December 16th, kicks off the bowl schedule. We're going to preview some of the five games on next Saturday. Not get into it in depth, but we're going to preview the New Orleans Bowl. It's an intriguing matchup, Rich. It's North Texas and Troy. North Texas did lose to FAU and Lane Kiffin in the conference championship. Troy did knock off Arkansas State last week. Two very good quarterbacks here. Mason Fine for North Texas. And you look at Brandon Silvers for Troy. I like the Mean Green, though. I like this matchup in the Dome. I think the passing offense of Mason Fine, 24 touchdown passes, gets it done over Troy in this matchup.
I like Troy in this game because they're the more balanced team. They can run the ball with Jordan Chun. Far better defense. The reason why I have problems with North Texas, and we saw it in the Conference USA title game, they just don't have the players to make stops. And although Troy has been inconsistent, Silvers has been inconsistent this year under center, I think this is one of those games where, you know, Neil Brown, his offensive acumen, the veteran leadership of Silvers, Jordan Chun in the backfield, I think they'll have a good offensive game. Both teams will score. Could be a shootout, but I like Troy in the matchup.
Really? I think when you look at that matchup from a physicality perspective, Troy did get the victory over LSU on the road. Yeah. But they failed to run the football consistently down the stretch. And when you look at Silvers' production this year, a tail off from last year's dynamic 10-3 season. So we'll see how it plays out. It is the first game on the docket next Saturday. Rich likes Troy. I like North Texas in that ballgame. We'll move to game number two, another intriguing battle. It is Georgia State and Western Kentucky. I think this game is going to be a shootout overall when you look at both quarterbacks here, but I lean to Mike White and Western Kentucky. I mean, this is a prolific passing offense, and when you look at Jeff Brohm's departure to Purdue, this team cannot run the football, and that's been the one MO why Western Kentucky's tailed off this year, but I think Western Kentucky dominates this matchup.
Joe, I expected more from Mike Stanford, the new head coach at Western Kentucky. I thought it would be plug and play, especially with Mike White being back under center. Hasn't happened. You're right. No balance on offense. Too many turnovers. Defensively, they've been just okay. But I like Western Kentucky in this game because they have the one unit that I can count on, and that is the passing game. I don't think it'll be a shootout because Georgia State just doesn't play in shootouts. They don't have enough offensive pop. Connor Manning is fine under center, but not enough playmakers outside of maybe Penny Hart at wide receiver. Western Kentucky has the passing game to succeed. I don't love this game because Western Kentucky has let me down too often this season, but more offensive execution led by Mike White. Mike White is trying to make a run in front of NFL scouts. He wants to play in the NFL, and this is his last chance to showcase.
Yeah, he played at South Florida, moved on, had a dynamic year last year with Jeff Brohm, but they also had running back Anthony Wales. This is an offense in Western Kentucky only averaging 66 rushing yards per game. They're passing for right in the area of 333 per game. And when you look at Georgia State overall, their weakness is in the secondary. They're giving up well over 230 passing yards per game. So that's why I think it could be a shootout. Plus, Georgia State, from an offensive standpoint, with Manning, they still can move the football through the air. They're averaging around 272 yards through the air against opposing defenses. I think it's a high-scoring game, but Western Kentucky does win this ball game by double digits, 13 to 14 points. We'll move on to Oregon and Boise State. This is an intriguing matchup because now you see Willie Taggart move on to Florida State. Mario Cristobal will be there. In terms of an offensive perspective, Justin Herbert, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, should benefit from the extra bowl preparation, but I like Boise State here. I'm not a big fan of this team overall, but they impressed me with their victory over Fresno State last week.
Yeah, Joe, I like Oregon. I might have felt differently if there was an unsettled situation at head coach, but it's put up or shut up time for the Ducks because you lobbied for Mario Cristobal. Now in Las Vegas is your opportunity to basically have his back. I mean, it's your first chance to show that this was the right hire. And I think these Oregon players are going to step up. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I know the line is up around
seven and a half now.
Yeah, it's a heavy number for Boise State, which plays pretty good defense, but Boise State has struggled offensively. We don't say that often. They haven't run the ball. Alexander Madison is not healthy. They're averaging less than 4 yards a carry. And Brett Rippon has been just okay sharing time with Montel Cozart. So I think Oregon Justin Herbert is healthy. We've seen very different program when he's in the lineup. 6-1 the Ducks are when Herbert is healthy and under center, and they're averaging close to 50 points a game. So the combination of Herbert plus Royce Freeman in the backfield, they have some speed off the edge with linebacker Troy Dye and Jalen Jelks at defensive end. I think Oregon will play with something to prove. I see a double-digit victory. It won't be, you know, won't be a blowout, but I like Oregon to win and cover.
Do you? I think Kozar could be the X factor. His mobility to put pressure on Oregon's defense on the perimeter. Boise State, very good in turnover margin, plus 12 in turnover margin heading into this ball game. Cedric Wilson, a big play wide receiver. I think the time off in terms of preparation will benefit Boise State more than Oregon, especially with the coaching change. Even though Cristobal is on that coaching staff and understands the personnel to now take over the duties for this ball game, even though he's done it before, it is a transition. And I look at when you have a mobile quarterback like Cozart, you could utilize him in wildcat type of formations. To me, that could be the difference. He is a senior as well, so I expect his speed to be a difference.
It should be the best game of the opening weekend, and I'm excited for all of these games. There's something to offer in each of these five games. Yeah, there's always a storyline, something to really monitor. This should be the most entertaining game of the first weekend.
Well, it kicks off the season. We used to start out bowl day number one with one or two bowls. Now we have a full slate, and that's what it's all about. Another intriguing battle is Marshall and Colorado State with Mike Bobo. Intriguing that Mike Bobo hasn't been mentioned for some of the bigger jobs like Tennessee in the SEC, but anyway, he's getting it done in Colorado Springs, has a big play quarterback in Nick Stevens, and I love Dawkins, the running back, along with Izzy Matthews and Michael Gallup at the wide receiver position, and Chase Linton for Marshall, two great quarterbacks. Very intriguing matchup, but I give the edge to Bobo because of the offensive balance.
Yeah, I agree. I like Colorado State, and I like the offensive balance that you mentioned. Michael Gallup, you know, a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award, maybe the best wide receiver in the country, certainly up there with James Washington. You talked about the running backs and Nick Stevens. Nick Stevens is a veteran quarterback, does a great job with his accuracy, third downs, red zone type offense. I'm a little surprised that Colorado State has struggled as much as they have this year, because outstanding along the offensive line, they don't give up sacks, they're solid on third downs, they have the run pass option with those backs and wide receivers, and yet they haven't broken through. The defense is average. The defense is not as good as Marshall's D. Marshall has an underrated defense this year, but beyond Chase Linton, no ability to run the ball for Marshall this season. I don't think they have enough diversity on offense to match Colorado State. The Rams have struggled this season. I think they put it all together and end the season with a big victory.
What impressed me about Colorado State early on is they beat Oregon State week number one. They opened up the new stadium. But if you watch that game against Nick Saban and Jeremy Pruitt on the road in Tuscaloosa, they were able to move the football. And if you haven't watched Dawkins, he's a scat type of back. He's bigger, runs bigger than his size. He could run it between the tackles. And more importantly, he could catch the football out of the backfield. I'm telling you, watch that Alabama tape of Dawkins. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. Izzy Matthews is more of a Ryan Matthews type of built. He's the grounder and pounder between the tackles. But Dawkins is an elite back, in my opinion, that could play on the next level.
Yeah, Colorado State needs this game, too. When you look historically, the Rams have lost three straight bowl games. They'd like to break through in the postseason, get a victory, send those seniors off with a win. Marshall, conversely, has won four straight bowl games. So it would buck recent history, but I like Colorado State.
Yeah, Doc Holliday doing a fantastic job with the Thundering Herd. Another intriguing battle. It is Middle Tennessee State. It is Arkansas State. I like Justice Hansen for Arkansas State, a dynamic quarterback. This is a blue-collar team in the Red Wolves that did knock off Nebraska in Memorial Stadium. More of a finesse type of team in Middle Tennessee State, but I think the Red Wolves get it done by double digits.
Yeah, you and I are in agreement. That would be arguably my best bet of Saturday.
Really?
Would be Arkansas State. I think they're a significantly better team than Middle Tennessee State. They have the best offensive player in the Sun Belt in Hansen behind center, 35 touchdown passes this year. They have the best defensive player in Javon Rollin-Jones, who has 13 sacks, so they're good on both sides of the ball. Middle Tennessee State, Joe, just hasn't been the same since losing Richie James. Dynamic wide receiver, really made that offensive go. They used him in jet sweeps. He was able to stretch defenses. without Richie James on the outside, Brent Stockstill, the quarterback, has been just mediocre. That offense has not recovered. Ty Lee, the wide receiver, has done a good job in place of Richie James, but Middle Tennessee has been very inconsistent. And among bowl teams, Joe, no one is worse in turnover margin than the Blue Raiders. I think that hurts them against Arkansas State.
Yeah, if you can't force turnovers in bowl games, you're not going to win. Stockstill was hurt much of the year. Urzawa, the backup, did play well adequately, but didn't put up the type of numbers that Stockstill did last year. My best pick for the early bowls is Western Kentucky. I think the explosive offense of Mike White is the difference. I look for Western Kentucky. That's my best pick next weekend. When we come back, we'll be talking to former Alabama defensive back George Teague. Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonella live in the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Studio 34.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
When you think of Alabama, you think back to Alabama, Miami, that classic game in the Sugar Bowl. Alabama did sneak into the college football playoff, but if you want the info on Nick Saban and the crew, you get a big-time player from Tuscaloosa. He's live on the Fantasy Sports Celebrity Guest Line. Former Alabama defensive back and NFL defensive back, George Teague. George, how are you today?
Man, I am doing great. Get to do what I like to do. Still get to be around football a lot, so, you know, no complaints.
George, I want to get your thoughts about Nick Saban and Alabama making the college football playoff over Ohio State. A lot of controversy. I don't have a problem with it, but give me your thoughts about the process and the committee's decision last weekend.
I'm not saying this just because I'm a big Roll Tide guy, but I think it was the right choice by the committee. You know, when you look at all of it, the full picture, and as much as many people have talked about, you know, how important that loss Ohio State had to Iowa, you know, I think that was a big piece. When you lose that big to an unranked team, it's kind of hard to forget that. You know, playing Alabama, playing Auburn, a rivalry game. A few injuries and that kind of stuff. I think it just came out to, you know, to Alabama being the better football team at this point.
George, forgetting for a moment what Vegas thinks in terms of point spreads, I still think of Alabama as the underdog, being the number 4 seed versus the defending champion Clemson. Is it possible for Nick Saban to spend the next month convincing his kids that, you know, you're an underdog, you have something to prove, some people didn't think you belonged in this game? Is that a pitch that he can make throughout the month of December?
No, actually, I don't think he's going to have to make it. I think as a player, you kind of see that when you're on the fence and maybe you feel like you're not getting the credit deserved. I can remember that 92 when we went in as number 2 with, didn't care about being the number 2. It was just all the talk of that you can't beat them, or you know, you're not supposed to be there. So as an athlete, you kind of get self-motivated with that. So I think the guys are going to be that way. I think what Saban is going to really key in on is going to be about the mental preparation of the game. How does he you know, have the mindset to go in and, hey, this is a huge, you know, game to get to the next one. I think that's where he'll go with it.
George, when you look at Alabama's defense last year, guys like Tim Williams, Jonathan Allen, Reuben Foster, Eddie Jackson, Marlon Humphrey, all moving on to the NFL, and they had a reload like they do each and every year. Not the same statistical defense that we've seen in years past, but what have you seen out of this group heading into the semifinal playoff game against Clemson that really has you intrigued about this battle with the Clemson Tigers?
Yeah, it's going to be a battle, but I think that, you know, the strength that we have in our secondary, you know, having Fitzpatrick, you know, just being the guy that he is, can be all over the field. And I don't think we talk enough about Ronnie Harrison and how physical they are to be able to make some big plays back there. You know, when you put all of that together, our defense is still going to stand strong, and they're going to have some tests because Dabo and his crew are good. But, you know, I think it's still going to come down to the defenses. Calvin Ridley, you know, he's going to have to get involved even more. I think that, you know, they'll take this next month trying to really figure out a way how to get the big explosive plays that we're going to need while controlling, you know, the running game. Doug Scarborough and Damon Harris, and I mean, we got to lean on our strengths. We got to be able to run the ball, control it, take our shots when needed, and play pretty good defense. And I think, you know, we can come out with a win in a close game.
George, I think you're a perfect person to ask this question to as a former defensive back. I marvel at the versatility of Minkah Fitzpatrick. You touched on him briefly. Can you tell our audience why it's so impressive that a young man can play so many different positions in the secondary and play those positions well?
Man, it is extremely hard to do what he's doing. There are very few people can do that. You know, to be able to basically be a linebacker kind of reminds me of one of the guys I played with. His name was Darren Woodson. He, you know, can play inside, but he's fast enough and agile enough to play on the slot, can move back to the safety, you know, built like a linebacker, just kind of freakish, man, when you're able to do that, to run and hit and smart and have the ball skills. You know, having a guy like that creates problems for offenses because you always have to know who he is. And understand that he is a playmaking machine. So you got to figure out how to get away from him. And they do a good job moving him around. So I'm looking forward to continuing watching him. I'm looking forward to him being that top 10 pick as a defensive back and, you know, continue our legacy of players getting in the league.
George, when you look at Jalen Hurts heading into this matchup now, I mean, he's a battle-tested quarterback, played last year in the national championship game against the Clemson Tigers, so he understands what to expect in this matchup, so you would have to give the edge to Alabama from a quarterback perspective in terms of big game experience. But what have you seen out of Jalen Hurts this season in terms of his progression? Because in terms of taking the next step as a pocket passer, we haven't seen that.
No, his composure is – he's always had it. It just seems like his confidence level is even more. A lot of people say, well, you know, he's not flashy and all that kind of stuff. And he doesn't have to be because he doesn't make mistakes. He's consistent. He can run the ball. He's a dual-threat guy that we need and want. And so I think having that – haven't been there. Have I already been successful? Have actually been in games like this is definitely going to give us an advantage when you guys are at the helm here where the lights aren't going to be too bright. And he knows what kind of pressure he's going to have and he'll rise because, you know, his last game, the whole team didn't look that good against Auburn. So I think they're all going to want to bounce back. And that's going to start with Jalen at the helm.
George, December and January are so interesting. I asked this of Terry Bowden in the first hour of the show. What are some of the unique challenges that you remember of preparing for a bowl game? It's so different than the regular season. Some schools do it well, others don't. But what are some of the hurdles that players at any school can look toward this month?
You know what? The the hardest part from a player's standpoint is when you're going into games like this, all the students are gone. You're kind of up there on campus by yourself. You know, when they leave and you're trying to prepare for a game, and then you're going to have to travel and be away from your family, you know, over the holidays. So there's a lot of other little things that a lot of people don't think about. They just think about us playing in the game, but there's a whole lot of missed opportunities that the kids have. So the players are, you know, wanting to have a little bit of time with their family, but you're spending so much time preparing. So, you know, from coaches, you have to do all that you can and say, okay, how do we still stay at the high level of football while letting these guys still be, you know, young men and see their folks? How do you create that atmosphere? So that comes from the administration, from Saban and the other guys saying, hey, we got business to take care of. And you play on January the 1st and, you know, people are wanting to do different things for New Year's Eve. Man, we got to stay focused. Can't have no mistakes. We got to be ready to go. So it's just critical on that part.
George, great insight and information. We'd love to get you on as we inch closer to the semifinal playoff game between Alabama and Clemson. We hope you enjoyed it today.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you for reaching out to me. I look forward to being on again.
Former Alabama defensive back, one of the most memorable Sugar Bowl plays in college football history. Former Dallas Cowboy as well.
Pick six, yeah.
I mean, you hear the intensity. Yeah. I mean, I did want to ask him if he thought the SEC was still the elite conference. We didn't get a chance to ask him, but you can hear it. I mean, and in terms of big game experience, you have to give the edge to Jalen Hurts, even though from a numbers perspective, isn't lighting it up.
Yeah, he's played in these types of games before. Kelly Bryant has not. It'll be interesting to see if Jalen Hurts could rise to the occasion. And, you know, I love getting the perspective because George is right. I mean, there are other factors involved with breaking down a bowl game that don't exist in September and October. You know, a lot of these kids are not only physically beat up, but there's a mental side of this as well. They're thinking about the holidays. Some are thinking about the NFL draft. So it really falls on the shoulders of the leadership team, the coaches, the assistant coaches, to have these kids prepared and focused one more time, whether it's a playoff game or whether it's a bowl game in December.
Yeah, I can tell you this. The four teams that are playing in the college football playoff aren't thinking about the NFL draft right now. They want to win a national championship, but you're right. I mean, I think the one thing that you can't factor in is mindset. Where is the emotional aspect of these kids? Because some of them, even though Kelly Bryant's a junior, he wasn't the guy. Jalen Hurts was the guy last year, and he understands preparation, how to prepare. So whatever he did differently maybe last year or his approach, he might take a different aspect to, and learn from those mistakes, where Kelly Bryant going in, we don't know what to expect.
Ditto Brian Daboll, too, because this is his first opportunity.
Correct.
The offensive coordinator of Alabama, this is his first opportunity to prepare for the Clemson defense and to prepare for a championship atmosphere.
It was Steve Sarkisian's first game as well when he took over for Lane Kiffin last year, and they struggled in third down conversions, converting 2 of 15 attempts against the Clemson defense. So we'll see if it changes in 2017. When we come back, we'll be joined by Gabe Morenci. We'll get his pick for Army-Navy. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Studio 34.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Army-Navy set to kick off at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. You want to get your best bet for the game? You get on Game Time Decisions host Gabe Morenci. He's locked, loaded, and ready for the 3:30 battle. Gabe, I love Army, and more importantly, I love the over in this matchup. How do you see it playing out?
Well, you're going to be, you're a contrarian here as far as the over is concerned. 11 straight games, guys. 11 straight games between these two football teams have gone under the number. It's an incredible streak. Generally, when military academy teams play against each other, it's a blind under for the most part. You know, they run the football so much, the clock just keeps ticking. But I'll tell you what, this total opened up in the 51.5 range or so. It was quickly bet down to 46, 46.5. People are seeing the snow right now, and it's been bet down to 45. And I'm with you, Joe Lisi, on this one. Listen, 24-21 gets us there. It gets us a push at least. Now, we should note the last 2 years this football game has had identical scores, 21-17. Okay, so they both know each other's systems that they want to run. I think it's going to get there. I think it's going to creep just over the number. I think we're looking at a 27-24 football game. I think it's going to get to what the original number was. The snow doesn't mean anything. The snow just makes it funner to watch on TV. This isn't going to affect either offense. But I like the side better in this football game. We all know that Army beat Navy for the first time in 14 years last year. What not a lot of people don't know is this is the third time since 1978 that the Commander-in-Chief Trophy is on the line in this storied rivalry football game. Army haven't won the Commander-in-Chief Trophy since 1996. They win this game, they win the Commander-in-Chief Trophy. They win their bowl game. That's a 10-win season for a football team that 2 years ago started the year being 1-24 in their last 25 road games. Okay? It's incredible the turnaround of this program. I'm looking at the quarterbacks, very similar programs. Army have a good defense, okay? You know, I've heard people on Army, they didn't play anyone. I don't know. They held Duke to 16 points. They played Ohio State. Ohio State scored 38 points on them. Yes, North Texas hung 52 on them. It was a track meet. It was also the third time that North Texas had played Army in the last calendar year. They play as much as Willie Taggart changes jobs. This is a good Army defense. They're freaking tenacious, man, okay? They get after it. Yeah, you know, oh, what a shock that a military team is tenacious. These kids want it. Forget about, they beat them last year. It's revenge for Navy. You know, to me, I'm a big Ahmad Bradshaw fan. I don't think this kid gets the love that he deserves. The kid's a warrior, literally and figuratively. He'll get you that first down, man. He'll sacrifice his body. I like the quarterback better. No offense to Zach Abbey. The kid's been playing through a ton of pain all year long. But I think that Ahmad Bradshaw just sort of puts the icing on the cake here. They beat Navy again, and they win the Commander-in-Chief Trophy, guys.
Gabe, it's the holiday season. I'd like to talk about your Christmas list. Does it include a jersey in Michigan colors of Shea Patterson? Is that something you'd like to be getting by December 25th?
You know what? It really would be. I'm not gonna lie. I wouldn't mind a Buffalo Bill playoff appearance, Rich, if you're granting wishes here, you know. I'm just stating, but ooh, that would be pretty nice. That's the missing key, isn't it? Harbaugh's knocked it out of the park. I don't understand whether is it loyalty? I liked Wilton Spate coming into the year. I did. He was managing the game. He was smart. He's a big kid. I think that Coach Harbaugh saw a lot of himself. And when I say a lot of college coaches are charlatans, I don't include Harbaugh as one of those guys. I think Harbaugh's a good guy that really does care about the kids. I think he was loyal to a fault to Wilton Spate. I think, O'Korn, I think they realized maybe he's not as good as they were hoping or they thought. Were they a little bit too slow to get to Peters? We got Dylan McCaffrey waiting in the wings right now, but life's about competition. If they can bring Patterson in, they absolutely positively have to do it.
Gabe, when you look at bowl games for the year, I mean, we know we've spoken about it. My favorite bowl is the Sun Bowl each and every year. I also like this Pinstripe Bowl matchup. And I also like the San Diego State versus Army. I want to see which team could dictate tempo, two blue-collar teams. But which bowl games are you looking at as your favorite 2017 bowls?
Well, it's funny that you say the Sun Bowl. I know people, it's hard to believe, but I used to be crazier and wilder when I was younger, okay? So, in the old days, guys, I used to start drinking New Year's Eve for the Sun Bowl. That was like my official for years, annually. That was my deal. It was New Year's Eve, and you know what? The Sun Bowl used to kick off at 2:30 Eastern, and I'd say, you know what? It's okay. It's New Year's Eve. I'm going to have a couple of drinks and enjoy this Sun Bowl. I love the Sun Bowl. Always been a big Sun Bowl guy. But to me, the best non-playoff game, and I like both underdogs in the playoffs, but we'll have time to get to that. To me, the best non-playoff game is the Ohio State USC football game. To me, two legendary programs, Pac-12 versus Big Ten, and really we don't really get a lot of USC and Ohio State matchups. I think USC are going to beat them. I think we got a great live dog here at that +7. I'm also looking forward to the Washington Husky Penn State football game. Interesting contrast of styles. I like the battle of conferences. But I will tell you as a whole, guys, I find that the bowl season's a little flat. And I don't like the conference affiliations. Look, I'm a Michigan fan. I'm tired of playing South Carolina in the Outback Bowl. And not because because it's Clowney made the play, right, Morency? No. I was talking, Big Ten 4 versus SEC 4. It's like, oh, God, really? So we get the same matchups, just convoluted every year. Let's mix it up. And to me, the biggest crime of all of this is Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic are a 10-win football team. I think we can say right now they're a better team than they were at the start of the year when they played Navy. I think Florida Atlantic, I'm not saying Florida Atlantic can compete with Alabama for 60 minutes, but I think it's safe to say Florida Atlantic can hold their own with any Power 5 team. And let's, wouldn't you like to see a TCU versus a Florida Atlantic?
Yeah.
Like Florida Atlantic's playing Akron. How is that good for anybody? It's not good for the kids on Akron. And Bowden's a great guy, coach, a friend of the program, done a hell of a job. How is this a reward to go to Boca Raton and lose 62-21? And how is this a reward? And how are you testing your skills if you're FAU at the end of a great year by playing a team that you're going to be far superior against on your home freaking field? You're doing a disservice to everybody here, I think. You're doing a disservice to the kids on FAU. FAU should be playing against a good team, a big-time team, and a big bowl game. Kids on Akron should be playing at a bowl game against a team that they're on an even keel with, so they don't know that, hey, we're going to a bowl game and we're going to lose by 37. The point spread is 22. I don't want to pick on Akron here, but it's one of my best bets. I don't know if you guys know this, but Lane Kiffin's not afraid to run the score up, guys. All right? I'm going to be laying the 22 in this. I like Fresno State. I think Fresno State, we look at enthusiasm going into these bowl games. Where's the program at? Are they trending upwards? Are they trending downwards? So what were their expectations coming into the year? I think Fresno State are going to be really fired up. And this is an angle that I like. And I like playing this in bowl games, the Hawaii Bowl specifically. Teams that play against Hawaii every second year in Hawaii, guys, they're not impressed by going to Hawaii. It's sort of like San Diego State in a regular season. They went to Hawaii. It was a business trip. They pasted them. Why? Kids in San Diego see hot chicks all the time. They grew up around palm trees. Ocean, no big deal. There's an ocean. Yeah, there's an ocean 10 minutes from our practice facility. They're not fazed by this. And similar situation, Fresno, the kids from Fresno, they play in Hawaii. So the kids, on Fresno, they're going to Hawaii. It's not a vacation. They've been there before. They grew up in the sun. They're not overwhelmed by this. Sort of similar situation with Houston, but this isn't the best Houston Cougar football team. I think Fresno is a more enthusiastic team, and I like West Virginia plus the 7, but my best bowl bet is actually the USC Trojans on the money line. Give me the 7 points. They're going to win this game outright. But, guys, we leave no stone unturned, and we had a heck of a football game last night, guys, with the James Madison Dukes riding a 24-game consecutive win streak. Man, they were on thin ice late in that football game, but champions find ways to win football games. And that's what the Dukes did last night. Love the FCS playoffs. And we got North Dakota State kicking off in a couple of minutes against Wofford. And, one thing I find about the FCS playoffs, and I'm not going to profess to be an FCS expert, but I know more about it than the casual guy. But one thing is people will sort of blindly bet on the favorite. They're going to see, oh, my God, North Dakota State. Oh, I know North Dakota State. And then they bet on them. So you get these monster point spreads. And, yes, it's true. North Dakota State are the kingpins of FCS, but it doesn't mean they cover the point spread every game. They might win, but I tell you what, we're getting 20.5 points. So, what a dangerous Wofford team that can move the ball a little bit. It doesn't take much. All we need is a touchdown or two, and I think we can cover the number here. I think the over 44.5 is worth a look in this football game. But conversely, in the next game here, I think South Dakota State, man, these guys are going to pound New Hampshire. I think New Hampshire are in over their heads. So we're going to take the 20 points with Wolford. We're going to go over to 44.5 there. And then we're going to lay the points for the Jackrabbits. Let's lay the 18.5 against New Hampshire.
Gabe, let the winners be yours today. You're the champion. We'll have you on next week talking about some of the major bowls for the upcoming season.
I can't wait, guys. Full slate next week. And how about that Vegas Bowl? It's going to be a fun one.
One of the best matchups last year. Yep. San Diego State and Danelle Pumphrey knocked off
I expect
Greg Ward Jr.
matchup.
And yep. Major Applewhite. So that's a very intriguing matchup. I
Gabe
can't wait.
Gabe is hot as a pistol, whether it's FBS or FCS.
Well, we'll
it
see. I didn't watch that James Madison game last night. I was delving into some of the Heisman statistics here. Didn't want to ask him about Rashad Penny because I know he's a big San Diego State guy. Yeah. So I did speak to Marshall Faulk, though, Tuesday night. Right. Marshall Faulk did say that the Heisman Trophy has become a joke. It's for the best player on the best team. So that's coming from one of the greats in the game, not just at the collegiate level, but the NFL level. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up. Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello live in the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Studio 34.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Best pick time. Only one game on the slate until we kick off the bowl season next Saturday. Rich, I'm all over Ahmad Bradshaw. He's rushed for 1,400 yards, 11 rushing touchdowns, and I really like this Army defense that does have 24 total sacks plus 4 in turnover margin. This is an Army team that has rushed for over 200 yards in every game. I think they get it done 30-20 over the Midshipmen 330 today.
Yeah, I don't think Army gets a two-game winning streak in this historic rivalry. I'm going to take Navy. I like the fact that their quarterback, Zach Abey, is finally healthy. Combine him with Malcolm Perry out of the backfield. You'll see a running game out of Navy that can rival Army. These are two very similar teams, little separation. I think it'll be close throughout. I think it'll come down to the final stages. But I'm going to take Navy just by a sliver. I'll say 28-24. You could tell by the margin of victory. I don't have a tremendous amount of confidence in this game because it'll be close. I could see why you would want to take the points. But I think after winning 14 straight and losing last year, I think Navy gets back on the winning skid.
I think it's high scoring. That's my best play of the day over either team. I think it will be high scoring. I could see this game right at 50, and that would take it over the number of 45. So we'll see how it plays out. I think weather is not a factor. I think it could aid for turnovers. And when you look at teams getting a short field and the ability to run the football, that's where I could see points being scored. So we'll see how both teams play this matchup.
That should be a great game.
It's much-watched television. Yeah. You have to watch the game. It's from just pageantry, tradition, commander-in-chief, and just to see a school spirit at its best, this is what it's all about.
And I like the fact that outside of the FCS playoffs, I like the fact that it stands alone.
Yes.
This is a chance for us to pause as college football fans and analysts and really focus on Army-Navy before digging in with both feet into the college bowl season next Saturday.
And then 8 o'clock tonight, the Heisman Trophy, it would be a shock, I think, in Vegas. It would send repercussions throughout the college football world if Baker Mayfield doesn't, in fact, win the Heisman Trophy. There is some negativity on the outside in terms of off-the-field issues surrounding Mayfield, but can't argue with his season this year. 71% completion percentage, 4,340 yards, 41 passing touchdowns. Him Lamar Jackson and Bryce Love will all be present, but the off-the-field issue of Saquon Barkley and Rashad Penny not being there, bigger news than who wins the Heisman.
Well, and to that point, what I always like to look at, especially a year like this where we anticipate it'll be Baker Mayfield, the only question mark is it the largest margin of victory ever for the Heisman? That's something I'm looking at. But I like to look at the top 10. I like to see what names pop up. Will we see a Mackenzie Milton from UCF? Will he be eighth or ninth? Because even in that, if you have a top 10 finish, I think there's some, you know, some real admiration for those types of players. I think it's an accomplishment to do that. Who comes in second to? Is it Bryce Love or Lamar Jackson? Can Lamar Jackson finish second after winning the award last year? But at the end of the day, this is Baker Mayfield's night, and we'll all be watching his speech right around 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, without a doubt. I want to see if Drew Lock is on there. I mean, he led FBS in touchdown passes with 43, and they did win six straight to end the year. I mean, this is a hot quarterback. You look at Rashad Penny, 2,027 rushing yards, 19 touchdowns. Where is he? Is he over Saquon Barkley?
That's a good question.
Is a concern. I want to see how that plays out.
I think it's Barkley fourth. I think it's Love second, Lamar third, Barkley fourth, Penny fifth, only because of name recognition. We, you know, there was a time during the season where Saquon Barkley, it looked like a fait accompli. I mean, people were like, give him the award.
Well, he had the kickoff return against Indiana, 98 yards. He had the kickoff return, the kickoff return to start against Ohio State. Yeah. So he had his Heisman moments. And I think people look at Rashad Penny as being a product of the system. Not so. He will be a dynamic NFL running back. When we stay with us every Saturday, we'll be here next Saturday breaking down bowl week number one. Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello, enjoy the game. Have a great weekend, everyone.